Matthew chapter number 6, I want to just read one verse to give our thought tonight. It's right in the middle of what we call, or what is normally called, the Lord's Prayer. Really, this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer, or an illustrative prayer that the Lord gave to His disciples to tell them when they pray, this is how they are to pray, or this is the pattern they are to follow. He said, so in verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And so He gives them an example of what kind of prayer they should pray. We're going to skip down to verse number 11 and just use this one verse tonight and look at it for just a little while. Verse 11 of Matthew chapter number 6 says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Or give us our daily provisions, those things that are needed. This is the part of the model prayer, or this prayer that is given here as an example, probably that is least needed as far as we are thinking of all parts of this prayer. When was the last time that you or I have ever prayed, Lord, give us our daily bread? Because most of us, we are able to go to our refrigerator and get what we want to eat. If it's not in there, we go down to Kroger or to Walmart or Sureway or somewhere and we get what we want to eat. We'll either pay for it by cash or we'll pay for it by check or debit card or even a credit card. We're able to go do these things, but yet the Lord said here, and with Him saying that, He knew where we would be and He knew how that prosperity sometimes takes over the need of praying for particular things, but yet He put this in this example prayer, or this model prayer, and He says, you pray, give us this day our daily bread. Most of us have and do pray to the Lord in a relationship, recognizing and respecting Him as our Heavenly Father. We recognize Him as the God that can do all things, and of course He has given us our daily bread. He gives it to us not only just day by day, but He gives us abundance of things that we have need of. We reverence Him because He is holy. We recognize who He is and who we are, and we pray in that perspective or in that light. But He says here that we are to pray, give us this day, to give us today what we have need of in our particular life. Most of us, as I said, we don't have to do that, and so therefore, this is part of the prayer maybe that we do not exercise as maybe we should. We have cabinets are full, we have abundance of food around us, and I tell you what, we certainly need to be need to know that we are blessed, because not everywhere in the world is like we are, and there's a lot of people tonight that'll go to bed hungry just like they did yesterday and the day before, and they see no prospects of being any different tomorrow, so they really don't have the necessities maybe of life as we do. And sometimes we forget of all the good things that God has given to us. Some might be tempted to say that this portion of the prayer does not apply to us, but I believe we will find tonight that it is something that applies to us, and we must realize and understand that we are living in perilous times and dangerous days, and the Lord still has to supply our daily needs and still has to supply those things. And you see, when we look at church history and we look at the way of church life and what's given to us in the book of Revelation, we'll find that one of the most notable signs of the last day church is that they were rich and had need of nothing. That was their perspective. That was the way they felt. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 18, you'll find the angel of the church that writes to these people that's called the Laodiceans. And he says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, we know very clearly who's writing and who's saying that. That is the Lord Jesus. And he gives them a view of where they are. He says, I know thy works. He told the church of Laodicea, he said, I know all about you. And by the way, he knows all about us too. And it doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we are, what position of life we have, where our churches are, he still knows our works. And he says, your work is that you're neither cold nor hot. And then the Lord turns around and he says, I would that thou were cold or hot. He said, I wish you were one or the other. You're neither cold nor hot. He said, but I wish you were one way or the other. And then he says, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest. Now, here is their saying. Thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Now, here he turns to his view. He says, you say you're rich. You say you have need of nothing. You say that that you have all that you need and you're increased with goods. But he says, but you know not that you're wretched and you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. See, the Lord sees us a little differently than we see ourselves. The Lord sees our churches tonight differently than we see churches around us. We may look at buildings and may we look at grounds and we may say, well, that church is doing well. But inside, internally, they may be just like Laodicea. They may have everything in good shape. They may have the good buildings and thank the Lord for good buildings and grounds that we have. But that doesn't mean that everything is well. That doesn't mean that everything is okay just because it looks okay on the outside. And you know, that's the way it is also with our heart and our lives. We can dress it up pretty good, but inside, the sometimes internal problems are there that nobody knows about except us and the Lord. And so the Lord says, here's my perspective. He said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Well, that prayer, that those words there sure does away with what we call the prosperity gospel. That group says just name it and claim it, and that group that just talks about grabbing everything and planting a seed and letting it come up and just prosper all you can and smile from ear to ear and just enjoy life because this is good and we can motivate people. And you know, some of the preachers that you see on TV and some of the preachers around our country, all they are motivational speakers. They're not gospel preachers. We can be motivated. We can be motivated by anyone. Sorry to say, sometimes Baptists have got into that in days gone by and even present. But motivation does not mean that we are doing what is right. And so what the Lord says, He says, you're doing good in your eyes. That's the prosperity gospel. You've got a lot of things, you've got a lot of money, you've got a lot of goods, you increased and have need of nothing. But the Lord said, I know the heart. And so therefore, He tells them their real condition. So that's the sign of the last day church, and I believe that's where we're living. We're living in that age that's called the Laodicean church period of time. That's the period that is before us, right before the coming, right before the rapture and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This church has much to in the way of temporal things. They had things of the world. They were not poor in finances. They had goods. They had supplies. And I wonder if they prayed, give us this day our daily bread. They had all the things that the world had to offer. But yet the Lord said, you have need. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me. You see, they may have been rich in finances and rich in goods, but they were poor on the spiritual realm. They were very poor when it came to spirituality. They were very poor when it came to knowing what really life was all about as far as a church of the Lord. And by the way, Laodicea Church was still a church of the Lord. It's hard to believe. It's hard to... I mean, we wouldn't have fellowship with somebody like that if we knew it. But the Lord said, I want you to count, be counsel of me and buy. And he addressed them and he told them, he says, unto the church of the Laodiceans. And so it was a local congregation and it was a church there in the city of Laodicea. And they had their ways and their goods and their means and they were a rich church. But the Lord said, you've got some needs that you don't maybe understand. Many temporal things. Psalm 106, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says, speaking of Israel, they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceeding in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Now, our Sunday school lesson this morning covered some of that problem in the desert. They made God angry, and then later on made Him very angry. They were tempting God, and they were lusting in the wilderness. They tempted God in the desert. And notice here what it says in verse number 15. And He, speaking of God, and He gave them their request. You see, sometimes God will give you what you ask for. But the last part of that verse says, but sent leanness into their souls. He gave them what they desired. He gave them what they asked for. But their soul was lean. Their soul was needy. And their life was worn out for without the blessings of God. I was reading this morning as Brother Gallagher was teaching the lesson. And some of the, of course, there's no way you can cover all those verses that the book gives you. One of those statements this morning talked about that God was going to judge that crowd that rejected His call for them to go into the promised land. And He said, all those that have acted this way and done disrespect to the things of God, He said, you're going to die in the wilderness. Anybody over 20 years old, you're not going to see the promised land. You know, the two oldest people that went into the promised land was Joshua and Caleb. Because they too, those only two that went to spy out the land, they said, we can take it. Caleb said, we are well able to take the land. We can do that. But the Scripture says the majority, they had to be a democratic rule Baptist church, the majority said we cannot do it. The majority said there's no way because we're just little old grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. And, oh yeah, there's grapes over there that it takes two men to carry back the cluster, but there's giants and we're small in their sight. You see, what they were saying was that their God was very small and could not deliver them. And so we find that as they went that way and as they went that direction, they had discouragement after discouragement and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. God let them wander in the wilderness till all that crowd of deniers died and did not see the promised land. God knows our necessities of life. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? I'm glad God can do that. He says, what shall we drink? I'm glad God can give drink. Even if you have to speak to a rock, God can give you drink. Even if you have to smite a rock, God can give you water. Even if you can pray to the God of heaven, He can give you angel food from heaven and He can feed you. And so here Matthew tells us that we ought to not take no thought of what we eat or what we drink, or whether shall we be clothed. God can give us clothes to take care of us. He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. I'm glad, thank God, He knows our needs. Praise the Lord tonight, you don't have a need that God doesn't know about. And He can supply it, and He can give it to you. God understands the desire how to provide for family and provide for self. And we are to take no thought of that, not to, as a Christian, as a believer. We ought to depend upon the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Laodicea, that kind of thinking can lead you to. God humbled Israel, but God provided for them as they wandered those 40 years. You see, when they were at Kadesh Barnea, all they had to do was cross over. All they had to do was say, let's go. They were at the precipice. They were at the border of the whole of the promised land. But they said, we can't do it. And so God let them wander those 40 years. But as He did that, He gave them bread to eat. And then He gave them raiment that did not wax old. And it says, neither did thy foot swell. You walk for 40 years, see what happens to your feet. God gave them protection in that way. And they were hungry and God fed them. They were thirsty. God gave them water. They came upon bitter water. God made it sweet. Everything that could be done for them, God did that. Bring that down to 2012. Everything that God can do for us, I believe He has done. And yet He tells us, give us this day our daily bread. God's will for the believer is for us to know that every word that proceeds out of His mouth is perfect. The secret of asking for our daily bread is submission to the will of the Word of God. Just submit to the will of God and His Word, and He has promised to take care of us. These verses go hand in hand with this prayer that we can read about. And take no thought. Take what you eat or what you drink, how you're going to be clothed, because your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But we are still to pray. The example of our prayer is to give us this day, today. You see, when they were wandering through the wilderness, every day God gave them manna. Every day. They could only take enough up for that day. If they took up more than they needed, it would spoil and was not fit to eat. The only time they could take up double or more than they could use in one day was to take up for the Sabbath day, because God didn't provide for it on that day. But He gave them double the day before. So God, in principle, was giving to Israel, give us this day our daily bread. And He brings it over to the New Testament, and He tells us in this prayer that is our model, that when we pray we are to realize that it is our Father which art in heaven, and hallowed or holy is His name. And so we recognize who He is. We recognize what He does for us. And so we find that He brings it over to our lives and to our time. Then He tells us that His kingdom is coming, His will on earth. And then the very next thing, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread is a prayer of determination. We must be determined to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We must be determined in our life, in our heart, that we're going to seek after God, and we're going to seek the kingdom of the Lord, and we're going to do what He wants us to do. And we must have a prayer of determination that we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 17, verse 33 says, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's look at some examples of this seeking God first. If you go back into the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 3, you'll find that Solomon sought after the Lord. Solomon being one of the great kings of Israel. We find that when he took over, he realized that he had a task before him that could not be done humanly. It could not be done in his power and his strength. And the Lord gave him, and these verses, I'm going to read them here in just a moment, but these verses show us that God offered to him anything that he wanted. God said, "Do you ask for it, and I'll give it to you." I remember when I was a kid and I heard that priest, I said, "Boy, I know what I'd ask for." And I'd had all kind of things in my little pea brain, and I had things listed. I said, "Boy, if I was Solomon, I'd ask for this." And so God told him this to ask. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, down through verse number 10, let's read those verses. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" That's simple, isn't it? "Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to set on his throne as it is this day.'" Solomon says, "Lord, you blessed my father David. You gave him a son, being me, and I'm now able to sit on the throne of Israel because of my father." Verse 7, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my servant. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Solomon recognized his task before him was impossible for him to do. humanly speaking, he could not do what God had given him. He said, "You have given to me the throne, and you've given thy servant instead of David my father." Solomon realized that the Lord had presented him with a great work. He said, "But I'm a little child. I don't even know how to come in and go out." Solomon was a great man, but he did, when he saw what was before him, he said, "You've given us a great people." He realizes it's a multitude of people. It's a people that cannot be counted, cannot be numbered. Now verse number 9 is his request. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this people, or this thy so great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon could have asked for anything his heart desired, and I believe God would have given it to him. Solomon could have asked for riches, but he didn't. Solomon could have asked for fame and fortune, but he didn't. For Solomon looked at where he was, and he looked at the vast multitude of people, and he said, "I'm just like a little child. I don't know what to do." You ever seen a child have a hard time making a decision? That's part of childhood. Sometimes we have a problem with that too. I hate making decisions, because sometimes you make wrong ones, and sometimes they you have to pay for them. But Solomon said, I don't know how to come in and go. I don't even know what to do. So great a people. So he said, "Lord, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may be able to discern between good and bad." That's a simple request. And the Bible says that speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon, all that he had asked. You know what Solomon's doing there? Seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking first that which was impossible for him to do. "Give me this day the ability." You see, it's more than bread. It's more than food. It's more than raiment. Give us this day our daily provisions. What we need. Not necessarily that we don't have food and drink. We have all that. Now, some people around this world, they pray that, and they pray for daily provisions of food. But you and I, if we're not careful, we'll leave that out of our thought process. But we've got a whole lot more important things to pray for than just food. Solomon realized the important job that he had, and he said, "I've got to have an understanding heart." You know, that's one of the greatest things that a person can have, an understanding heart. Understanding attitude, a heart that is able to be touched by somebody else's problems and infirmities. I pray God would help us to have that. I pray God would help me to have an understanding heart, that I could look at situations and people. And I've learned a long time ago, and I guess we all, as we grow older, we realize some of the silly things that we've done. But I've learned a long time ago, I can't judge somebody. It's not my place to, because I'm not in their shoes. I'm not in their place. And I don't know how I would respond to pressures that come and problems that arise. I don't know what I would do. Oh God, give us an understanding heart. God, give us a discernment of right and wrong, good and evil. Give us a discernment that You can bless, and not that we judge people, not that we come down on them, and not that we destroy. I've seen so many people destroyed by things that were said from a pulpit. That ought not to be. Now, I'm not talking about backing up on the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about judging and working. Sometimes we do things spur of the moment that we should have an understanding heart. So that would be a good prayer for all of us. Lord, help me. Lord, give me this day an understanding heart. God, help me to understand, to judge, and to know right and wrong, good and evil. Help me, God, to know, just to be able to make the right choice and the right decision. It wasn't long until Solomon had to make a decision. Remember the story of the two women that had two children, one died? Solomon had a discerning heart. And he said, well, I will just take care of this. We'll cut that baby in half. We'll give one of you half of it and one of you the other half. And somebody said, oh, that sounds terrible. Oh, but Solomon knew the one that was really the mother, she would be the one that would speak up. And so, as the story goes and tells us that the one woman said, oh no, don't do that, just give it to her. Because that was her baby. And she had rather her baby be given to someone else than for the judge to cut it asunder. Solomon had a discerning heart. If he hadn't have had, that might have backfired. That might not have worked. But we know that it did. Solomon sought first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and God blessed him and honored him. I think of another person, the widow woman of Zarephath. And she did things that God would have her to do. Over in 1 Kings chapter 17, I've got all the 13 verses here written out, but for sake of time, we'll not read all of them. You know the story. Elijah comes, and he is said unto Ahab, he said, before whom I stand, there not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Here Elijah stands before the king of Israel, old wicked Ahab. And Elijah says, on my word, it's not going to rain, it's not going to dew, it's not going to be any moisture at all until I say so. And so God tells him he better leave. That didn't make Ahab too happy. And he goes before Jordan there, and he hides himself at the brook Cherith. And as time goes on, God fed him with the ravens, and time goes on, he has to go somewhere else because the brook dried up. And the word of the Lord came to him and says, go to Zarephath. Go to that which belongs to Zidon and dwell there. He said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's an interesting statement. That widow woman didn't know anything about Elijah. She didn't know he's coming. She didn't know who he was. Didn't know anything about him at that time. But God says, I've commanded her that she's going to sustain thee. So the Bible says he went to Zarephath and he came to the gate of the city. Behold, a widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called of her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Bring me something to eat while you bring me something to drink. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not cake, but just a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm getting these two sticks and I'm going to go fix our last meal. I don't have anything else. The meal's run out. The oil's run out. I'm just me and my son. We're going to eat it. In verse 12, she says, and we're going to die. She didn't have any hope. But God had already told Elijah that he had commanded her to sustain him. She didn't know it. And she didn't know how it was going to happen. But Elijah, in verse 13, says, Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Here's the difference. How's it going to happen? How's it going to work? Because she doesn't have any meal. She doesn't have any more oil. Just one last little cake, and they're going to die. And Elijah said, I want mine first. Then he says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Buddy, that changes the picture. That changes the whole scheme of things when God speaks. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He told her, as long as there's a drought, you're going to have meal. As long as there's no rain, you're going to have water. You're going to have oil. You're going to have everything you need. Just go get mine first. And God said He would supply your need. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto thee. And so, the Bible says that she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And we know the rest of the story. Give us this day. Seek first God's kingdom. I believe in Daniel chapter 6, we find that Daniel sought God first. Daniel's a great, great story. We don't have time. And Daniel, when he knew the writing had been signed, that he was not to bow to anyone except to that idol, the Bible says he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And I love this, and I've made statements so many times, and gave thanks before his God, not a period there, it's a comma, and says, as he did aforetime. Daniel did not change one thing. Daniel just continued as he always had. Now some of us, when we find out some rule has been made that's against the book or against the Lord, then we get all stirred up and we try to make a big show about it. Well, Daniel just did what he always did. Daniel went 3 times a day. He had his window open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed toward that city, because he was a Jew and he had been led captive, and he had purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to be defiled with those things around him. And so therefore he did what he always did, and God gave him victory after victory. God gave him those things. We are to seek the Lord. We are to look to the Lord. We are to do those things and say, God, will you help me? Can you help me? I believe God's already determined some things that He's going to do for us. We don't know it. Just like that widow of Zarephath, she didn't know, but God used her in a great way to take care of the prophet of God Elijah. You and I have been given the Scripture, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. Proverbs 3:9. Therefore we are to seek the kingdom of God. We're to have those things in our life. So those are some examples of praying, of determination, that I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to follow the Word of the Lord. Give me this day. And our daily bread, not only is a prayer of determination, but it's a prayer of dependence. If God doesn't do it, it will not get done. If God did not give to Solomon the mind and ability to judge, then he would have never been able to be the great king that he was. Solomon did not ask for riches, but God made him the richest king that ever lived. I read one time what was estimated Solomon's worth, and my goodness, Bill Gates would look like a pauper by him. And so God gave him what he did not ask for, but God gave him what he needed and what he did ask for. We understand that all things are of God and comes from God. It's according to His divine power, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. And God took care of Solomon. The Bible says there in verse 11 of 1 Kings 3, and God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life. You see, Solomon could have asked for God to have him live forever. And I believe God would have done that. For God said, I'll give you anything. You didn't ask for long life, neither did you ask riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Solomon could have said, Lord, make me victorious over every enemy. And he would have been. And God said, because you didn't ask all that, he said, but behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I'll give thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Solomon, you are the man. You are the one that I'm blessing more than anyone else has ever been or will be blessed in this thought of understanding. He said in verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Solomon, you're the great king. So God took care of Solomon. Why? Because he sought the kingdom of God first. God took care of Solomon because he just give me today what I need. Give me an understanding heart. How to discern right and wrong. We can find that God took care of that widow woman. We've already touched on that. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Oh, but I don't have but one more meal. I just have a little meal, a little oil, and I'm getting ready to... I've gathered these sticks so I can go build a fire, and I'm going to make a cake, and when we eat that, my son and I, we're going to die. But God gave her that she and her son, and then her house. I don't know who else is involved in that, but God gave her family. Maybe outside the home. And the Bible says she did eat many days. God's able to supply every day. God took care of Ezekiel. He prospered. God took care of Daniel. He prospered. Daniel prospered in the reign in Babylon. He prospered under Nebuchadnezzar. He prospered under Darius. He prospered under the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I mean, Daniel had a long lifespan, and God made him prosper under every one of those wicked kings. Why? Because he said, I'm going to do what's right. Give me today what I need, Lord. And I'm going to pray to you as I always have, regardless of what has been written. You know, God can take care of us. It's encouraging to me to see those examples of Old Testament, how God took care of His people. Well, I'm one of His people. You're part of the family of God. And He has promised us that He will take care of us. Philippians 4:19, we probably all can quote this. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My goodness, God can take care of us. He can make the cruse of oil have more oil. He can make that old car last longer. He can make the electricity not cost as much for some reason. He can cut back the water bill. Don't know why. He can take care of His people because He's got an endless supply. But my God shall supply all your need. We get confused with needs and wants. God said, I can take care of you. I may not give you everything you want, but I can give you everything you need. I can give you all those things through Christ Jesus. Proverbs 3:10 says, the barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out. Malachi 3:10 through 12, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. He says, prove me. God says, just put me to the test. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall her fruit before the time. In the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. You shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's to Israel. God said, just prove me and see if I can't do what I say. Just put God to death. See if He won't do what He said in His book. David said, I've been young, now I'm old. And he said, I haven't seen God's people begging bread. Why? Because God can supply. Give us this day. So tonight we may go, and I'm sure if you'd like all of us, like me, before we pillow our head tonight, we'll have to have some kind of little snack. Sometimes it's a big snack. Sometimes it's just something just to get us through until the next morning. So tonight when we do that, we all say, thank you, Lord, for providing this for me. I didn't have to pray for it. I didn't really have to do much for it. It's here. And make us understand and realize that more to life than food and raiment. There's more to life than give us this day our daily bread to eat. There's more to it than that. Seeking first the kingdom of God. The secret of praying for one's needs is for the individual to seek first the will of God. To seek those things in his life. To pray for their needs and to pray for their desires. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestow upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, of abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounding to the riches of their liberality, those churches of Macedonia, even though they were weak and poor, they were able to give. Paul says there in verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." It all starts right here. It doesn't start out there. It starts right here. They were willing beyond their power to give of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. What did they do? They sought first the kingdom of the Lord. And in doing that, they provided this day daily bread. This day, today, we worry so much about tomorrow, and we need to be taken care of just today. Seeking first the kingdom of the Lord. We need to learn how to pray for our needs. We need to learn to seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things shall be added unto us. Doesn't take God by shock of our needs that we have. And He says He'll supply them according to His riches. How rich is the Lord? He owns it all. Years ago it was said, the Lord owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Later on somebody put on there and said, why, He owns the hills the cattle are on. Later on somebody put on there and said, yeah, and He owns the gold under the hills that the cattle walk on. He owns it all. Thank God we have a God that can supply. Let's stand together tonight.